Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. Helps hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Well, if you know of ESPN's 30 for 30 series, I mean, it's a great documentary series.
Sometimes I'm so fascinated about subjects that I never even thought I would care about, like Christian Leitner or...
Yeah.
And then there's ones where I'm, like, fully obsessed with, like, there was one on the New York Islanders where a guy completely, like, lied about how rich he was so he could buy the team. It's an incredible 30 for 30.
Oh, that happens? Some people lie about money?
Well, back in the day, especially when you couldn't really quickly find out that kind of information, the age of the internet has changed that probably. But
yeah.
Those days, he was able to pull a fast one for a half a second.
Yeah, dude. There's big news actually today about a company lying about how much money they're losing, and somebody's blowing the whistle on them. I think it's a huge company. But there's a new one. This has nothing to do with people blowing their money. Well, I don't know. Maybe that might be in the episode because it is about Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
So anything could be subject matter in this one.
You know, up until this moment, I never knew I needed a documentary about Dennis Rodman because I just forget. You know, he's still around, so you don't think about that kind of stuff. And then once I saw this morning that they had a documentary, I'm like, boy, I need this. I need to see this.
Kim Jong-un's buddy.
Yeah.
That's the only... I mean, at that point, I'm just like, of course I need a documentary about him. How did he get to be buddies with him?
Oh, they show
North Korea,
like,
dude.
In the trailer, they show a clip of him, like, going there and talking to him. I'm like, oh, they're going to tackle... This should be, like, a week-long... series like Shark Week,
and it's
just
a
Dennis Rodman week.
It is it's going to air on September 10th. It's one episode. It's called Rodman for Better or Worse, and as I said, September 10th on ESPN. And as Steve said, the trailer's pretty wild. Here's a little bit of it.
Who is the real Dennis Rodman?
The force of nature that he was undeniable. He was Jimi Hendrix and Will Chamberlain.
Rodman turned the NBA upside down on his head.
You never think back and say to yourself, now, Dennis Rodman, which one was he?
Dennis was a very clingy child. He was very shy.
Skinny, he was awkward.
I think he missed a father figure.
Constantly battling his inner demons.
Dennis Rodman did dirty work better than anybody in NBA history.
Rodman has had a difficult and emotional time this season.
Did I believe he was going to shoot himself at the Palace in Barbon Hill? Yes.
No. Damn. Boy, that's a heck of a way to end a trailer that the guy was making you believe that he was going to shoot himself.
Now, Danny, wow. Vicky, you probably don't know much about Dennis Rodman, do you?
I do, only because he was the guy with the crazy hair
on
the Bulls. And I was a big basketball fan growing up.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, that's all my cousins used to watch was the Bulls, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, all of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he was before that, he was the Detroit Pistons, right?
Yeah.
He was part of the Bad Boys.
That's before, what I forget, yeah.
Before he got like over the top extravagant with the way that he was.
Yeah.
Wearing wedding dresses. I mean, things he was doing back then was nuts.
And he dated Madonna, right?
Did he?
Carmen Electra.
I was very jealous of him for that.
Me too.
I'm not saying Madonna didn't happen. It's very possible, but I remember Carmen Electra. And he's, the thing that strikes me is that, don't forget Celebrity Apprentice. He was on that too. So some people may know him from that as well.
He did a lot of reality shows after he was done with basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of reality shows.
He was larger than life. I mean, at the time, how crazy is this? I think many people, and if I'm not mistaken, Donald Trump were trying to help him because a lot of people felt like, you know what, you got a problem, dude. Maybe you ought to go to some sort of rehab situation. I can't remember if it was Donald Trump on The Apprentice that actually tried to help him.
I can't
remember.
Gave
him some advice. But I mean, it's interesting. The people that we love in life that we think are amazing Tens, they got issues. You ever noticed that about that? About like the guys that like, you know, he's getting 30 for 30, but yeah, the guy, you know, he had stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know about the stuff of him being a quiet kid. And I'm very curious to see how this documentary pans out because he's a fascinating person from the outside. Now to learn a little bit about how he was as a person growing up, that's going to be pretty cool to check out. It's my favorite Dennis Rodman story. It has nothing to do with 30 for 30 or anything like that. It's because one of my old roommates, and I'm talking like 13, 14 years ago, comes home and he's just faded. I'm like, what the hell happened? He goes, you are not going to believe how my night ended up. And I'm just like, what happened? He was at a bar, like I think it might have been like Teeny Biggs or one of those bars in Lower Queen Anne. He's like, Dennis Rodman was there.
What?
And I'm like, okay, tell me more. He starts buying drinks and shots for everybody in the bar.
Oh.
And just gets everybody wasted. And then goes, who wants to come with me to the strip clubs? And so my buddy, and I'm proud of him, he said, I do.
Well, of course.
So he ends up just partying with Dennis Rodman for the rest of the night, bouncing from different strip clubs, comes home, and he's just done.
Yeah.
And then part of me's like, why didn't you bring him back? So I'm like, yeah, I guess Dennis Rodman probably doesn't want to come to like some slummy-looking apartment in Queen Anne.
No, if anything, he'll get you a nice hotel room.
Yeah.
And the party continues.
I was so mad I didn't go out that night.
Oh, you would have been hanging with Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I would have probably got all my lap dances paid for.
Yeah, I mean, how could you turn that
down? Thank you. Right.
And that's what I love about the fact is that, you know, you hear a lot of stories, but the fact is if there's a guy who's got a ton of cash and he's spreading it all around, making joy wherever he goes, yeah, you know, maybe he's got some substance issues. But the thing is, he's being cool with it. You know, I mean, if he's got a drinking problem, at least the problem is not in buying people drinks and being a nice guy about it.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that there's probably some dark times for that guy, but that was definitely not one of those. Or maybe it depends on how you view it. Maybe somebody would be like, but he was just having a good time buying people drinks.
Oh, your buddy was so lucky and you so lost out. FOMO'd like a mole.
Oh, I don't even know what that word meant at the time.
So. Yeah,
that's FOMO like a mo.
Yeah, you were like you talk about missing out, dude. You
FOMO
definitely
mofo. Know.
Yeah, you're a FOMO mofo, brother.
Yeah, damn. That would have been a fun night to be able to say that you just had multiple drinks from Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that would have been a great night. Yeah, you got to be part of that. You know, you got to.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow, that's awesome. So again, it's airing on September 10th on ESPN 30 for 30 with Dennis Rodman. We got a woman that was hospitalized, and how? Well, she fell onto a cucumber. Yum. Steve's going to tell you all about it. He's got the Migs report for you at 6:17.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW The Rock. Of Seattle.
Well informed on the issues of the day? Not this guy. Live from the KISW News Center in downtown Seattle, this is the Migs Report.
Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks to Kia of Puyallup for giving us the Migs Report, and it's a very special day. Happy National Roller Coaster Day.
Oh, yeah.
Damn
buddy.
Straight.
All right, this would be your day.
PJ and I had a little bit of an argument during the commercials over what day today should be.
Yeah.
And I did have it on my little list, but it's a very distant second. You can see big letters, Roller Coaster Day.
Yeah.
Little letters. It's also National Rum Day. So enjoy your rum, BJ.
Nice. Yeah.
Diet pirate.
I vehemently disagree with that being number two.
Why?
National Rum Day is number one,
baby. Yeah, roller coasters are trash.
Oh, that's right. You just hit a bump in the road, you get nauseous.
Yep.
Oh, but still, you guys.
All right, so we got two against one. We got two more people in this room.
All right, Vicky, rum or roller coasters? Oh, it's tougher.
I'm not big into rum anymore. I'm more into whiskey.
Boo!
So that's the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Danny's on my side.
Roller coaster!
Yeah, it's roller coaster day.
Yeah, it is.
Damn it.
Yep.
Get on Space Mountain. Well, you got to make a trek. So maybe go to Wild Waves and go on their roller coaster.
Okay.
I don't know. Or wait for the fair to show up and go on that roller coaster. Whatever it may be. But don't go to Thailand, guys.
What's wrong in Thailand?
I have two stories about Thailand that involves, well, one involves a cucumber. The other involves 50 rubber duckies.
Okay, this sounds like a start of a wonderful evening.
And both of these items, or all of these items, are stuck in people's body parts.
Oh, wow.
Let's start with the cucumber, kids.
Okay.
A 51-year-old woman, she was sent to the hospital because, well, she said she was having some pain down there due to a cucumber.
Oh, no. She had a cucumber in the lady parts?
Well, she told the hospital staff that she fell on the cucumber.
Oh, yeah, that happens to me all the time.
She fell down in her house.
Yeah.
The cucumber just happened to be in a spot that she fell.
Yeah.
And it simply ended up there.
Yeah, there's no other reason why the cucumber would be visiting that part.
It was an accident?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the hospital staff, they didn't necessarily believe her, but
why?
They did help get that cucumber out of there.
So it was jammed in there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Million to one shot, Jerry.
Wow.
It makes me, there's a story involving, it was an ex many, many, many years ago. Her sister shared a story with us. And my jaw dropped to the ground on this story. So apparently her sister at one point went into the family's refrigerator. I mean, she was, you know, still living with the family.
Okay.
Grabbed a cucumber.
All right.
And similar to this woman from Thailand, she fell on it.
Oh, she fell on it.
Well, then she heard her parents coming back home. So she put the cucumber back.
No, she didn't.
Oh, no.
No, you didn't do that. You didn't even, like, go to the sink and
I think
sure.
You might have washed it off.
Oh.
But still, right. I'm listening to this. I'm like, why are you sharing this story with me?
Wow.
I do not need to know any of this.
Well,
and I never ate a salad at that house ever again.
You know, some way, though, as a guy, I'm like, if I know that a girl is willing to fall on a cucumber, she's a lot more interesting to me.
Well, it's a case-by-case BJ scenario.
Okay.
All right, now let's move on to the rubber ducky story. This one did not involve a human. This one involved a bulldog.
A bulldog and a rubber ducky.
Yeah, but a vet over at an animal hospital in Thailand had to do surgery to remove 32 rubber ducks from this hungry canine's stomach.
Oh, no.
The bulldog, whose name is Devil, got into a box of 50 yellow rubber duckies and just went to town on them.
God, what is it about those things that they want to eat them?
I don't know.
I mean, they're rubbery. I mean, I don't know why anybody would think they're tasty.
Some people think ducks are delicious.
Oh, well, I mean, real ducks, yes, but rubber ducks?
They're able to get all the ducks out, and dog's going to be okay, but that's a little bit freaky.
Well, at least I got all the ducks in a row on that one, right?
Thank you.
Waka, waka!
You know, Steve, that story is ducked up.
Hey, one texter just said, went in as a cucumber, came out as a pickle.
Oh, I like that one.
All right, let's move on. This story is insane. A skydiver fell 5,000 feet to the ground and lived.
How is that possible?
This woman, she was in Canada. She's 30 years old. Some are calling it a miracle, but somehow she survived with non-life-threatening injuries. People are like, how the hell? Apparently her main chute, the backup chute, didn't open. She landed in a cluster of trees. And she has multiple fractures, including a broken vertebrae. But still, she's going to live to tell the tale.
So
5,000 feet.
She fell and at full speed into the trees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost as shocking. The Mariners won yesterday.
Oh, wait a second. I was going to believe somebody could live, but I don't believe the Mariners won. Come on.
And they won in style.
Why?
They beat the Detroit Tigers 7-2. They're off to Toronto to play the Blue Jays today at 4 p.m.
Another amazing team. Let's see who's the better one.
Keep the winning going, baby.
Yeah, okay.
And a quick selfless, shameless plug.
Okay.
For selfish. I guess not selfless.
It's not selfless. It is selfish.
It's very selfish. Join me this Sunday in Everett. I'm going to be at Without a Cause Wrestling. 4 p.m.
Right.
I'm going to be bringing the 10 pounds of verified greatness with me. You're verified champ, first and only.
Oh, no. You're bringing that belt?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, for God.
I don't leave home without it.
Yeah.
It's just wear it to work from now on.
You really
should.
I really should. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Some great matches, including Kimberly and Priscilla Kelly, two wrestlers that have made appearances in the WWE. Kimberly's originally from here, so it's a homecoming for her.
Oh, nice.
And Priscilla Kelly is the one that many people know recently because she was all over the internet because of a certain spot. Pulling something out of her pants.
Oh!
And upset a lot of people in the industry.
Was it a cucumber?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be at the VFW Hall, which is on Oaks Avenue in Everett. Hopefully, I'll see you guys there on Sunday. And you can just go to my Twitter. You'll see there's a whole post about it as well. As far as weather, 74 degrees and sunny today. And thank you, Shane Company, for the Migs Report. And that's what's up.
Nice. Yes.
Look at you, buddy.
Moving and shaking.
You're moving, you're shaking.
Are you doing this? Someone asked if I was going to this weekend. Said, Migs, if you're not already, you should come out to Dragonflight in Bellevue this weekend.
Do they not know who you are? That's the last place you should be.
If you remove the L and if it's a dragon fight, I'm there.
Dragon fight.
Right?
There may be some dragon fights, but granted, the dragons might be like these minis, and they may be on a table, and we might be rolling dice to see which dragon beats another dragon. That's the closest we're going to get.
And this is the Dungeons & Dragons connection?
No, it's, I mean, there will be some Dungeons and Dragons played there, but all sorts of board games will be played there. It's like the, I think it's the oldest board game convention in Seattle in this area. It's been, it's number 40 or 41. I wish I knew. Somebody can tell me if they look online at dragonflight.something.
I think that's actually the URL, dragonflight.something.
But I know it's like we're either in the high 30s or we're getting into the 40s, which is a pretty amazing
Dragonflight Game Con 40.
So this is the big one, the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I want to know what they were playing back 40 years ago. Was it just Chutes and Ladders?
It probably was Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Dungeons & Dragons has been around for 40 years?
Oh, yeah, longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Axis and Allies, probably. A lot of Risk. War games. Risk, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, probably.
But, I mean, these, you know, they were even, you know, they were really hardcore games that aren't as elaborate as they are now, but still for the time they were. But Steve hasn't played. Steve has got Sushi Go, which is a fun game.
Yep.
He bought it. He's never played it.
Well, I use it. I put it on my electronic drum set so that my bass drum pedal doesn't go and hit the wall. So it's like the gap between the wall and the bass drum pedal.
See? So Sushi Go really worked out for you.
It's essentially a doorstop.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And Steve,
I'm using it all the time there, Rev.
Yeah. All right, then.
We've invited Steve, but Steve's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm just not a board game guy. Yeah. I don't knock it. I mean, you guys are having fun.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, in life, eventually, you know, people have a lot of stuff they love, and sometimes they love it so much they don't realize it's not for everybody, and they don't realize that and keep going on and on and on about something. You go, dude, at some point, you got to realize the person across from you doesn't care.
It's funny, Ryan the Beard, who works at Metal Shop, who's in a band called Pound, that played Pain in the Grass, he just recently had a post that's kind of similar. He's like, look, everybody that's a fan of Tool, there is nothing you can say to me that's going to make me a fan of the music of Tool. So stop giving me all these reasons why I'm going to like. You know, sometimes people just can't accept that what you like, someone else doesn't like. And no matter, you can try and sell it to them as much as you want, but he's like, I get it. He's a great drummer. That's a great guitarist. It's just not my thing. So stop trying to convince me that I like it. I've listened to them. I don't like it.
Oh, this will be fun in the mornings when he's here. Then I can talk to him about Tool.
Bring it up. Bring it up.
Dude, bring it up for sure. That'd be awesome.
And look, it does. And there's a lot of things I don't like, but that doesn't mean it's not good. That's another thing that I don't do. I don't say that's crap because I don't like it. You know, sometimes there are things that I think that are crap that I don't like, but you know, a lot of stuff is good. Like, you know, you say you like Grey's Anatomy, and god dang, that show makes me want to just, you know, jump off a bridge. But
there's a few episodes I think would suck you in, man, especially one where everyone's
here. We go,
shot.
Look, you're doing it already.
Sorry,
you're that
sorry.
Guy.
Yeah, never mind.
That's great.
Yeah. But have you listened to Tool?
Yeah, exactly.
You're right, man. We're all guilty of this. Right. Son of a bitch.
You get like hurt if somebody says they don't like something that you love.
Yeah.
And it's just like one of those things that's like, you need to detach yourself from that. But it's so hard to, especially when it's like, I have this emotional connection. Someone's like, yeah, I don't feel anything.
Yeah. Can we take a second to talk about Tool, the new song?
Yeah, we can, but I just want to quickly.
Oh, Rev, sorry.
Where's Dragonflight? I'll give him a little plug where it is, because you can walk up and buy tickets.
Dragonflight.org, and it's happening in Bellevue at the Bellevue Hilton.
Thank you, my friend. That's where we'll be, and if you see me, feel free. We've got room. We'll let you come play games with us. Sometimes we have games that play 10 players and we don't have enough. So you're welcome to come up and you join us. And all right. So yes, the Tool album I've seen, it's polarizing.
It really is.
It's very, very polarizing.
Man, it bums me out that people just want to have that knee jerk immediate opinion on something. Because if I went on social media after I first heard the song, my review of the song, which is Fear Inoculum, which is also the name of the record, would have been just marginal. I was like, I remember first hearing it when we went to Chicago. I put it in the headphones. I'm like, that's not bad. I mean, I hope that there's better songs on this record. That was my opinion. Like, it's not an awful song. It's a Tool song, and I love Tool. Man, but the more I listen to it, I've been listening to it a lot. That song is so damn good.
It is. Wow. Really so you really, you have to let it sink in. You have to be really.
Yeah.
Which is like a good.
It's like that with a lot of Tool's music, though.
I consider them like an orchestral sort of situation where you really have to let it hit you in layers and layers and just not. You really have to. That band, for me, has always been that kind of band.
It just keeps. I mean, the more you listen to it, the more you pick up on what's going on. And I just find it to be a really interesting song. It's not my favorite Tool song of all time, but if this is the sign of what this record's going to be like. I'm really pumped.
One of the things I think I realized that was a good idea for Tool to do was to release all their other albums on streaming.
Yep.
Because it refamiliarizes yourself with Tool. And you have to realize that, yeah, this is a 10-minute song, but when Schism came out, that was 7 minutes long. And they do these long, super, super long songs that are just beautiful. But after 13 years, you don't remember that. So you're looking for this big bang pow hit or something like that. And they're, like you said, they're way more layered than any other band out there. So that's why I really do love it.
Do you feel like you have to be, if you will, somewhat altered?
Because sometimes I've been sober for 90% of the time that I listen to it. There was a couple of drunken nights in Chicago where I went to bed listening to it. But I mean, so maybe more 95% of the time I've been sober listening to it. And I've loved it. I listen to it in the gym all the time.
Or psychedelic. I feel like Tool is such a great band for that kind of situation too.
It could possibly be that. But I mean, at the same point, it's just, I think you just need to go back and listen to more Tool music in order to appreciate this one.
Dude, how about this? A new song from Tool got me curious, and I downloaded 10,000 Days in Undertow, and now I'm a huge Tool fan. I love all of it. How about this new song actually turned on someone to become a fan?
It is so interesting, man. I just did an interview with our buddy Hoppy, who had never listened to any of the Seattle sound. He's always been a hip-hop fan, and he said, just 2 weeks ago, I started listening to, like, you know, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and he's hooked. And he had never heard about them prior to a couple months ago. It's so, I mean, good music is good music. And eventually, once you get a little older or whatever, maybe you decide you want to broaden your artistic horizons, because a good tune is a good tune, especially a band like Tool. I mean, I put them like, you know, you got to look at like, you know, like classic composers. I mean, I think it's on that level, you know, as opposed to, you know, regular music.
Regular music.
Well, you know what
I mean. No, they're very complex.
Yeah,
they do some crazy stuff. I don't even know what the hell Danny Carey's doing on the drums. I can't even figure it out half of the time. He's doing some insane time signatures. But the streaming thing has also made me rediscover the Tool music from past years, because I don't have a CD player in my car. If I'm driving, I'm never gonna, you know. It's just I don't listen to Tool recently, but now that all their stuff's on streaming, I've been listening to a lot of their past albums, and I never thought this until I started listening to them again. I'm curious about the Rev as well. 10,000 Days is easily my favorite Tool record. And
That's
the last one. And I never thought it was until I started listening to all of them again. I keep going back to 10,000 Days. To me, that's their best record.
Really?
That's
funny how life works out that way.
Yeah. I would have never thought, I would have thought Lateralis or, you know.
See, yeah, with me, it's
Undertow.
Like, yeah, Undertow and Anima are hands down my favorites, but those were the ones that I listened to the most. I really haven't listened to 10,000 Days that much, because I can just go back to Undertow and Anima with the familiarity with it. But man, I do need to go back and listen to that.
It's weird, man. It's just kind of cool. Like, I, you know, just hit me in a different way, in a different point in my life.
Wow, nice.
Good stuff, man, that Tool.
Oh my
gosh. I love all those albums. What? So
I'm just looking, and I think YouTube Music has Tool.
Well, yeah, of course they should.
Yeah.
They put on all the streamings.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if YouTube
all of the streamings.
And
all
of them. It's another reason to subscribe, you know, get YouTube Premium, because you get to download everything that they have, and YouTube Music acts like Spotify for me, and at the same time, I also get their original shows. That's another thing you get to subscribe to. Hey, everybody, don't have enough Netflix or Hulu or Prime? YouTube now wants you to get their stuff. Wow, that's pretty odd. I'm now going to start listening too, because like you said, Steve, I don't have, I can't tell you the last time I listened to 10,000 Days. And that was the Tool, that was the album that got me into Tool.
Yep.
Like I heard of the band, but I didn't care. But 10,000 Days was the one where I said, hey, I love the artwork. That's what really got me, is like the artwork was awesome. I go, let me get these guys
pictures.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, wow. Yeah. Yeah, working here too also helped, because when I started working for The Rock, also they basically just happened almost at the same time.
So it says Tool Talk on The Rock.
Tool Talk.
And that was the same way with Alice in Chains, and then Rainier Fog. I heard it and loved them, and I started listening to all the other records, and now I'm pissed. I lived 28 years without being into them. They are amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love hearing that kind of stuff. I mean, I think it's so cool when somebody who, you know, missed the boat on something and then finally figured out, oh crap, these guys are great, and then goes back and like falls in love with a band.
And look, I would be remiss if I didn't say anything. I do understand that there are some conversations out there that aren't so great about Maynard. We are aware of that. And it really does suck in life when you have to try to separate a person from their art. It's a hard, hard thing. And there's, you know, so far these are just rumors or maybe allegations, but I don't want people to think that, oh, by the way, because I know I'll get a tweet, I'll get something. It's really hard for human beings that love something to turn around and go, okay, something may or may not have happened. It's happened with Michael Jackson, it happened with Louis C.K. It's always, always hard for just a random idiot like myself who's a fan of something, and then it turns out maybe the provider of something could be in trouble. It sucks. We know. We're just commenting on what we love about the music, okay? We're not... So don't be mad at us, is all I'm saying. We're just trying to be human beings loving stuff. That's all I'm saying. Okay. All right. Well, it is well a day where Steve yesterday did get this one right.
Kelly Clarkson had the 2004 hit song "Since You've Been What?"
Gone.
Yes.
Wow.
Not a very good Kelly Clarkson.
Oh. Kelly Clarkson.
Honestly, why weren't you on American Idol?
I don't understand
that, man. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421 Rock. We're playing Beat Mates at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. What's the difference between filing for bankruptcy and credit counseling?
Credit counseling is a useful process in some circumstances, but it does show up on your credit. In fact, from a credit scoring standpoint, credit counseling shows up just like a bankruptcy, so it's going to affect your credit as negatively as filing bankruptcy. In credit counseling, the idea is that a credit counselor works with your creditors on your behalf to try to lower interest rates or work out payment plans with your creditors to pay back your debt over time. In credit counseling, you almost always pay back 100% of the debt, sometimes at lower interest. And of course, some creditors will participate in that process and some won't. So you're usually left with kind of a mixed result with credit counseling and, of course, a high payment.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.